In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to another episode of Open Talk. I'm your host, Sayyid Wahid Alawi. We send our peace and blessings upon the Prophet and his progeny and those companions who followed their path. In these couple of programs, we have been talking about freedom and freedom of speech. And today's topic is a very sensitive and hot topic, and it is about the question of freedom of religion. And the question of religious freedom has become an issue of major importance in the 20th century, as it is regarded as the cornerstone of individual human rights. Does Islam have any kind of religious freedom? Do we as Muslims have the right to leave Islam for another faith, or no faith at all? These are some of the questions that our dear expert will talk about, inshallah ta'ala. In the studio, we have Sheikh Qambari from the Open University of Al-Mustafa. Sheikh Qambari, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to our studio.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you very much.
And from London, inshallah ta'ala, we will have Sayyid Radawi joining us there. And our co-host, who will help me hosting this program, is Ms. Sadiqiyan. Assalamu alaikum, Ms. Sadiqiyan.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother, and everyone here. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters of Open Talk, companions of Open Talk. I'm your host, Alahi Sadiqiyan, with you. And this program, you know, Open Talk is trying to help us see beyond the society, inshallah, and come up with better concepts. We'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll have more stories. Thank you for watching. You're watching a live broadcast of Open Talk from the Holy City of Qom Sahar Universal Network. Don't forget to contact and keep in touch with the ways you have. Support us, our pages on Facebook and Twitter, and watch our videos on YouTube, and put your comments, raise your questions, and call in with your comments and questions, and don't forget to Skype us. Now let's get started with our colleague and our expert and the freedom of religion.
Sheikh Qambari, we know the view of UN. It says that support the freedom of an individual or community in public or private to manifest religion or belief in teaching, practice, worship and observance. The freedom to change religion or not to follow any religion at all. To be able to change his or her religion without, in religious term, it is called apostasy, or murtad in the Arabic language, is also a fundamental part of religious freedom covered by Article 18 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. But what is the Islamic view on freedom of religion?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, bihi nasta'in, innahu khayru nasirin wa mu'in. Before entering to the answer of that question, yes, that you raised, I'd like to raise one introduction that is
all
very
right.
Brief introduction,
sure,
and it may clear the way that we want to talk and to pass through that. I do think the first question we have to answer that is, why do we need religion? Why do we, you know, understand that this religion is necessary for us and we have to obey the teachings of this religion, or any religion, I mean. Purpose of religion and
its importance
and the will and the right of man in understanding and taking this religion.
All right.
Okay. From Islamic perspective, the main important issue in accepting religion and the benefit of religion is to stop imitating the way of formers or the way of the ancestors of the people. You know, in choosing a religion, you shouldn't imitate your parents.
All right.
Otherwise, this religion wouldn't be exact religion of
and
you.
And this is one of the Islamic point of view.
Islamic point of view, and that also it is recognizing the right of people to choose a religion that they themselves understand and notice that this religion is proper religion for them today.
It is also considered to be haram, forbidden to follow in issues that has to do with beliefs and faith.
Exactly.
According to the Islamic
perspective. So the right of people in choosing religion without imitating the others, ancestors or children or the society or the others. You know, in choosing religion, I myself have to come to this point that this religion is necessary for me and the perfect one that I can choose it. So this is the right of people, and somehow we can call it freedom of belief and the recognition of the rights for human beings in this regard. So this is the beginning step. The second one, we have to use our reason and intellect in choosing religion. If you think enough about one religion, you can understand that this religion is and the spirituality is necessary for you, and you are in need of that. And among those religions and faiths that human beings is seeing and observing, one of them is the most important and the best one.
All right.
So by thinking, we can understand that. Then the role of reason and intellect of human beings is very important. And this is the things that we have, quality that human beings have. And this reason is separating human beings from animals and the others, okay? So human beings is intellectual being, a rational being, and he can understand through his reason and decide the best decision.
So what can you say about the Islamic view?
This is Islamic.
Except those two that you said. So this is the Islamic view,
that, perspective
that
Islam.
It is haram, it is forbidden to imitate the beliefs of your parents and your forefathers.
Yeah.
You have to come and be convinced
Do
your research, be convinced about these faith articles from this and that religion.
Yeah.
This is the Islamic view.
This is Islamic one, For the sake of that, imitation in Islamic principles is haram, is forbidden. We cannot imitate our parents, the other people. No. For example, I do believe in God. Why? Because my parents said so. Because my Islamic scholar said so. My alim said so in the mosque. No, all of them are not acceptable for human beings.
Yes.
To be a believer in God should be based on your own understanding and reasoning process.
Sheikh, let me ask you, if I have done my research and I have reached the conclusion that, for example, Buddhism or the religion of Confucius or Shintoism or whatever is the right religion for me.
Okay.
Am I allowed, from a fiqh perspective, from the jurisprudence perspective, am I allowed to change my religion?
You know, from the beginning, if you are in the first step, you want to choose your own religion, whatever you come to that from your reasoning process is the best one. The result is the best one, and you have to follow that.
All right.
From the beginning step, if you choose Buddhism, Hinduism, Shintoism, whatever is
Religion at all.
Or no religion even. So you are free to choose whatever you want and whatever you
according to the Islamic view.
According to Islamic perspective.
All right.
And this is a very rational thing. And whatever is in Islam is acceptable from aqli perspective and rational perspective, because Islam is compatible with reason and intellect of human beings. There is no contradiction between these two sources of understanding the way, of living. So, but if you are in the other steps, in the second or third steps, for example, you chose one religion or faith as to be your own spiritual way of living.
All right.
And now you want to do again your research and to, you know, deepen your understanding about that. There are different ideas here, so we have to go in details. If you were a Muslim from the beginning, you're born in a Islamic family, for example, your parents were Muslims, and now you are a Muslim man or Muslim woman, and now you want to change your religion, to convert to another religion.
All right.
So here, according to jurisprudential perspective, you as a Muslim, if you change your religion, you're called as a
murtad.
Murtad And that's fitri murtad, that is natural murtad. Because so, naturally you are a Muslim man.
So allow me to translate okay. to the viewers. Murtad means apostasy.
Yeah, apostate.
Apostate,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah. So apostate man, if he is a Muslim naturally, and now he is going to change his nature mm. to another one. So this is much more difficult because
so
by
nature. Here Islam goes against the UN declaration.
Yeah,
Article
exactly.
18.
Exactly.
All right.
And also Christianity and Judaism and the other religions. Mm. All of them say if you're born as a Christian, as a Jewish, as a Muslim, and now you want to convert to another religion yes. and faith, then you have to be punished based on that.
Because that's from a historical perspective now.
Yeah, exactly.
But most surely today, with the Christians today, they don't say something like that.
They don't say that.
About the Jewish perspective, we have different views. That if yeah. your mother is Jewish, you can be, you are a Jew, whether you believe in it or not.
Yeah.
But from the Christian perspective, the angle that you shed light on was from a historical perspective right now. But today, most surely, most Christians wouldn't say something like that.
Wouldn't say that because, you know, the true believers in Christianity also claim that point. Catholics, among them, they are also strong believers, then they do believe in apostasy. Mm. They say if you are a Christian man or woman by birth,
all right.
then you cannot change your religion.
All right.
Because this is the correct religion.
I'm going to hold you there, Sheikh,
yeah.
and we're going to go for a break. Please join us after the break, dear viewers.
Freedom of religion or belief is a principle supporting the freedom of an individual or community, in public or private, to manifest religion or belief in teaching, practice, worship, and observance. The freedom to leave or discontinue membership in a religion or religious group in religious terms called apostasy is also a fundamental part of religious freedom, covered by Article 18 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. When the Holy Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, established Islam, Jews, Christians, and Muslims lived in peace under the governance of the Holy Prophet, may Allah bless him and his family, without any duress or pressure to convert to Islam. The Holy Quran clearly states, say to people, obey Allah and obey the Messenger. But if you turn away, He is responsible for the duty imposed on him, and you are responsible for the duty imposed on you. And if you obey him, you go aright. And the messenger's duty is only to deliver the message plainly. Surah number 24, 54. This verse shows that not only there is no force for the believers of other religions to accept Islam, but also their faith is respected under Islam. The Holy Quran also states there shall be no compulsion in the acceptance of religion. However, can we say the same about Muslims being free to practice their own faith in the countries where freedom of religion is a constitutional human right? Or are these words another form of control over people's freedom? Which group's freedom are more under threat, those who are not forced to profess faith in an Islamic nation, or Muslims in countries where freedom of religion is advertised? It may be that the only threat Islam poses is its attraction to those who seek freedom, the right to free those under control, and the inability to control those who are free.
Thank you for watching Open Talk, dear viewers. Stay with us. Dr. Ghanbari, on the website thereligionofpeace.com, there's an article about apostasy. It says, the only freedom of belief in Islam is the freedom to become Muslim. The author gives proof of that by highlighting verses from Quran, like chapter An-Nisa, verse 89, and some other chapters and verses. He quotes some hadiths from Bukhari. For instance, the Prophet said, if somebody discards his religion, kill him. Contemporary Muslim apologists sometimes find it embarrassing that their religion and theirs alone endorses killing over a change in opinion. And Muslims brag that theirs is the fastest growing religion. Now, you know why. And how should we amplify our voices against this false information, actually?
Yeah, he says
freedom of religion is to become a Muslim, just at the beginning was point. I don't think that, no, this is not correct. This is misunderstanding of Islam. Freedom of religion in Islam is freedom of choosing any religion you want as a person who is going to follow one faith for himself or for herself. But after becoming a Muslim, you know, it differs, the situation differs. And if that person accepted Islam as the perfect religion and final religion, and he understood from the beginning that this is the complete religion he can follow, okay, then how is it the rational way to change the religion? Okay.
Yes.
Then if he changes at that moment, that person, again, he wouldn't be killed, he wouldn't be punished. If he is just, you know, keeping in mind that conversion without talking, without confession, what is in his mind, okay, or her mind. So if there is a person, and he is a Muslim or she is a Muslim, but he converted to another faith and religion because of misunderstanding, or he, you know, became sure that the other religion is much more better or perfect one.
Yes.
So in that situation, if that person doesn't, you know, confess, doesn't preach the other religion among Muslims to convert another Muslim to that faith, then he wouldn't be punished in Muslim community. Because there is no force over the minds and the hearts of people in the Muslim community to change some changes or to make conversion over the minds of people. But fiqh, jurisprudence, doesn't have to do anything with the mind of people and with the hearts of people.
Yeah.
But the only thing, according to the fiqhi point of view, is the actions of Muslims.
Yeah.
If this action is compatible with Islam, then it is welcoming in that moment. If it is in contradiction with what we understand from Islam, that person should be punished because he is or she is going to violate Islamic teachings among the Muslim communities. And the result of that is changing somehow the order of the society or the communicative system of the society.
True.
And chaos will happen at that moment. Then Islamic countries should stop that activities.
Yeah.
So it depends to activities, not on faith or the mind of people, the thinking of people. So I do think that there is a freedom among the Muslims.
And there is and no in the freedom mind of for people. Killing, you know, that and the way that is highlighted in these pages, especially.
There is punishment over there, but it depends on the activities of people when they are coming and, you know, raising their swords against Islamic countries, and then he or she is going to fight Islamic teachings.
Yeah.
At that moment, we have to fight the person.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So, Sheikh Al-Qambari, if I understood correctly now, from a theological perspective, if you change your religion, it's a rational thing to do if you have come to that conclusion. But from a fiqhi or jurisprudence perspective, the punishment is death. Now, that sounds very harsh. With the mentality that we have today. And I mean, do we have a balance here between jurisprudence and Islamic theology, or don't we? I mean, from a theological perspective, we say it is haram to imitate the belief of your forefathers without any research. And that person comes to the conclusion that he wants to become a Buddhist, for example. Will that, will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punish him with hellfire if he does that?
Yeah.
Even if it is correct from a kalami or theological perspective?
You know, there are two realms. One realm is the realm of Islam itself, pure Islam, what we understand from Islam itself. And the other is the realm of Muslims, what we're experiencing now among the Muslim countries and communities. So sometimes there is a difference between these two realms.
A contradiction between
them. Exactly. Sometimes contradiction.
They crash.
Okay.
All right.
But what we understand from Islam and the tradition of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and Amir al-Mu'mineen, the other Imam, alayhi salam, is that a person You know, the mission of prophets and the Ahlul Bayt is to just preach and illustrate Islamic teachings to the people without any force. وَمَا عَلَيْكَ وَعَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغ, for example. So there is just preaching over the shoulders of prophet and the imams, alayhimus salam. So there was no compulsion in accepting any faith or religion or any principle of Islam.
Now you're shedding light from a historical perspective.
From a historical perspective.
That's very interesting. So there was no force back then.
Yeah.
At the time of the Prophet, there was
no force in this realm.
All right.
And also with respect to the fiqh point of view at that moment, in the time of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, there was a person, a woman, I do remember, that came to the to Amir al-Mu'mineen and said, I did commit one sinful action, and that was very great sin. And the result and the punishment of that was killing. Mm. So she said by confession that, oh, Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen, I did so. So Amir al-Mu'mineen said, I don't think you did so. Go and think more. Mm. I didn't hear you.
All right.
Now, then she went and then
came back
again for the second time. And then Amir al-Mu'mineen said, no, maybe that action was not this, and that was another action, for example. Go, I don't want to listen to
you
now. And for the third time, when she returned back, Amir al-Mu'mineen said, now, right now, I have to do the punishment of that action, because you confessed three times. Mm. And this
so
is just...
How do you explain, Sheikh, that our fiqh today is like it is today? How come? Now, from a historical perspective, you said there was no compulsion.
Yeah.
But right now, we have this compulsion. So, do you see a contradiction here?
Yeah, right now, I do think that accepting in a religion or one of the principles of Islam is free for human beings. For Muslims, rejecting any principle of Islam that is necessary for Islam, for example, rejecting prayer, rejecting fasting, Hajj pilgrimage, or one of the principles of Islam or the branches of Islam, it means apostasy, and that person should be punished. But without declaration, without confession, no one can understand that you don't believe in anything.
All right.
And no one, you know, comes to you and asks you about whatever is in your mind, however it is in your heart. Then there is no punishment for that. Even in Islamic countries within Iran, we are experiencing so many things. Mm. So many people don't accept something, okay?
We'll talk more about it, inshallah. Let's go over to Ms. Sadiq Yan. Do you have something prepared for us, Ms. Hadiway?
Yes, brother. Here's a video clip, as usual.
Nice.
Viewers, it's about freedom of speech versus freedom of religion. Do stay tuned.
Do you accept that everybody's entitled to liberty?
Yes.
Do you believe that everybody has liberty?
No, I think there's many Muslim countries where women, for example, have no enough liberties.
In the West, do minority communities not have the same liberty as the majority white communities?
I think the minorities in the West can be discriminated, and I'm fighting against this discrimination.
They don't have the same liberties that you say that everybody should have. Do you accept that?
There is a difference between...
Some people have more power than other people. Do you accept that?
Yes.
Yes. If most of the mass media is controlled by a tiny minority, who really puts our free speech in danger? It's not the Muslim community, it's the press barons who control that media. They influence it in whichever way they feel.
What Muslims will not accept, and what no human being, Muslim or not, should accept, gratuitous insults about their beliefs, their faith, or anything dear to them. The reality is what? People have a right, when they are offended, to say so. Don't you ever get offended? Do you expect 20 million?
Absolutely.
How do you expect?
And I will say so. But the point is that I also accept the right of anybody to offend me.
What you're demanding the freedom to insult.
Let's be very, very clear. In this debate, which is not about freedom of speech, you are demanding the freedom to insult. In no civilized society...
I am happy for people to insult me. I think people should have the right to insult me.
That is the most uncivilized thing. In no civilized society should people accept the right to insult others. Jews should not be insulted. Christians should not be insulted. And me as a Muslim or anybody else should not have to live in a society where my beliefs are insulted. Will that lead to harmony? Will that not lead to tensions? So it's very irrational, illogical, and nonsensical to say it's okay to go around insulting one another.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you for watching. Do you believe that everybody has liberty? I'm quoting the people on the clip one more time for your kind notice, dear viewers. Dr. Ghambari, in the West, minority communities do not have the same liberties as the majority white communities. No. In this debate, which conveys the message freedom of speech and freedom of religion go together, the questions here, what kind of freedom of religion could it be while only the minority Muslim community is under attack and insulted by the majority communities?
Class gap or class differences is observable in different countries, especially in the Western countries.
Yeah.
So there are minorities and the majority. And majority is going to oppose its own understanding of faith and the spiritual way of life over the other minorities because they are minor and they don't have enough power to stop against the majority. And then they have to accept and obey the majority. So this is the point we have to highlight it. And what we saw in the video clip is just focusing on that point.
Yeah.
But for me, I do think that freedom is not understood correctly in the West, even among the Muslims also, is not understood the best way.
Yeah.
Freedom of religion is not freedom from religion, is freedom within religion, or freedom before choosing religion. In the first step, when we want to accept in religion, we are free. No one can, you know, force us to obey one religion or branch of faith, for example. We are absolutely free. And freedom of man, and man is free, you know, being, you know, creation on the earth. And free will of man is, I do think, that best ground for accepting religion freely. But after accepting religion, we are free and we have to use our freedom to obey this religion.
Yes.
To practice whatever is located within that religion, special religion. But if you say we use freedom to get out of the religion, then this is not rational freedom.
Yes.
For any action, we should have good argumentation based on our own reasoning. So our intellect doesn't say you are free to do whatever you want, or our religion doesn't say you are free to go out of any religion or to enter any religion. Mm-hmm. All of them should have good proofs and argumentations.
Yes.
Otherwise, this is not freedom, I
think. Otherwise, it is not going to grow us.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So this freedom should take our hand to our development and progress in our life, to better our life. Well, otherwise, this is not good freedom. This is not beneficial for human beings. Otherwise, we should be limited under this freedom.
Yes, sure. Brother White, we're all ears.
Thank you very much. Let's go back to the rule of apostasy, murtad.
Yeah.
Now, should we have a new interpretation of the apostasy rule that we have? Now, looking from a historical perspective, 1,400 years ago, at wartime, in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, now, didn't it mean that when you went away from the religion of Islam and you became an apostate, you joined the ranks of the enemy?
Mm-hmm.
Is that one kind of historical interpretation that we could have? And that would, if that would be right, if that would be true, then today apostasy or the rule of murtad means something completely else.
Yeah. When we consider early Islam, especially Medina, right, at the time of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his progeny, we do see that there are different religions, different faiths, the followers of these faiths are living to one another, next to one another.
Yes.
And there is very peaceful coexistence among the Muslims, Jews and Christians, and even pagans, the people who are idol worshippers. Okay. So all of these people are working to one another and with one another and living next to one another. They are neighbors to each other.
Yes.
So if we accept that atmosphere in Muslim countries that the Prophet accepted, okay, then this is freedom of religion. Prophet, as the Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, accepts the existence of the other religions, other minorities, but of course there should be some rulings for this coexistence.
But I'm not talking about other religions right now. I'm talking about those pagan Arabs who became Muslims.
Okay.
And afterwards they turned away from Islam. Okay.
Yes.
And joined the ranks of the enemy.
Yeah.
Can we have another interpretation of the apostasy rule?
Yeah, according to the jurisprudential perspective, because they are considered as to be milli murtad, national apostate. So if they convert their religion to the another one, to change religion from Islam to atheism, for example, or to Christianity or Judaism, then they wouldn't be punished because they are natural, they are not natural, they are national apostates. So the ruling for that is not killing. So they are, we have to invite them to become Muslims again, to repent to Islam, to repent to Allah the Almighty. Otherwise, they have to be kept in prison, for example, or to live under some limitations.
Sheikh, I agree with the brother in the video clip.
Okay.
That you shouldn't be free to insult each other.
Exactly.
All right, we do not believe in that. And we're not happy with people insulting each other or other faiths. But do you accept that the freedom we have in Western countries and African countries, it's much more broader than we have in an Islamic society, where you as a minority or as a person believing in another faith have the right to preach your own religion, all right, on the same ground, on the same level with other faiths? You have the same right to preach your religion and convince people to come over to your religion. But we do not see that in an Islamic society. Those same freedoms in the West and African countries that helps us to preach Islam and spread Islam there, those same freedoms we take away from those minorities living in an Islamic society.
You know, I want to address this question from two angles. One angle is depending on the basis of faith or basis of understanding life in the West and in Muslim countries. What we have in the West is humanism.
And pluralism.
And pluralism, of course. So the center of everything is human being. Then human is respected. And no one has right to do some limitation over the other's freedom and rights. We have to respect the rights of all people because people, individuals, are important and center in this life and universe. So we are not allowing the West to insult anyone's belief, anyone's rights, and anyone's sacred and holy understanding. But over there, we are allowed to insult God himself. Because God is not in the center over there. Human beings are respected, not God himself, not religion itself. But religion of people is important. Okay. So for the sake of that, they're free to talk about God, to criticize God, to criticize holy understanding of people, the religion itself, and the prophets of God even, but not allowed to criticize people, individuals. And the faith of individuals because of the people, not because of the faith itself. But with respect to the realm of Muslim countries, here we do believe that God is center of the everything.
All right.
And we have to obey God's commands, not our own. So for the sake of that, whatever coming from God is secret and holy should be respected by the followers of that religion. Then religion is coming from God. Prophets are appointed by God. And the successors of the Prophet are appointed by Prophet and God indirectly, of course. Then we have to respect all of the things, not free to criticize God, criticize.
With other words, we do not have religions? The same view on pluralism.
Okay.
That the West
for
had.
Sake of that, we do believe in religion as the final religion, of course, and Islam.
And Islam should have the upper hand.
Exactly.
All right.
But the minorities are free to do their own rituals. Islam.
But they're not allowed to preach.
Not allowed to preach among Muslims. But among themselves are free. Within Iran, what we have, the minorities are doing their own rituals.
Thank you, Sheikh. All right, Ms. Saderian, over to you.
Thank you, brother. Joining us as a viewer.
All right.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Open Talk.
Assalam, thank you for having me in this program.
Our pleasure, sister. When it comes to freedom of religion, some may say freedom of religion is freedom from religion. What do you think?
Freedom of religion means we are free to choose a religion, and that is to choose and believe in a power that controls a human's destiny. By freedom from religion, we can have two different point of views. One is the freedom that religion gives us. And a dramatic example can be Hor and something he did in Ashura. He chose between hell and heaven, and he showed us how can free a human be. Another point of view is, I want to be free without any limitations and without any boundaries. And we know, like this, our life would be like animals, and it's against human's nature. As human being, we need to have some boundaries and limitation. We need to know what right is and what wrong is. And religion is the best way to show us these boundaries.
Thank you so much for joining. And we're really honored to have you with us in this program. Dr. Ghambari, on the website ChristianPost.com, an article is about freedom from religion leads to no freedom. The author quotes the 23rd president of the U.S., Benjamin Harrison, on it that if you take out of your statutes, your constitution, your family life, all that is taken from the sacred book, what would there be left to bind society together? The author concludes, separation of religion and the church jeopardizes America's other basic freedoms, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom from the abuses of government. It only lead to no freedom. Now, your point from an Islamic point of view on that.
You know, if you say freedom of religion leads to understand a religion more or deeper, I do think we have to reward that, you know, statement in this way that we do have deconstruct somehow our set of beliefs.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we cannot reconstruct it. You know, the majority of Muslims do believe in God and the principles of Islam based on imitation, based on following people without doing enough research on that.
Yeah.
So if we say these are not acceptable from you as a Muslim, you have to deconstruct first your set of beliefs, system of beliefs, and then to reconstruct, rebuild new building, new set, new system of beliefs based on your argumentation and reasoning process. So if it is so, then acceptable from Islamic perspective. For the sake of that, within the Holy Quran, if you refer to the Holy Quran, different verses, different chapters of that, referring and focusing on the status and the importance of reasoning, thinking, using our mind, using our reason, intellect, to understand more. Reciting the Holy Quran, reading these verses is not enough.
Yes.
Yes, this is, you know, commonly accepted that these are, you know, receiving the sabab and the word of God. But if you don't think enough over the words that you are reciting and reading the verses, then you cannot come to the conclusion of that to base on Quranic teachings and to behave on that basis.
Yeah.
So we have to release ourselves from the force of the society, from the teachings of parents, from the teachings of the other institutions in the society, mm-hmm. and to think freely first about religion, whether this religion that I'm choosing is the best one or not.
Yeah.
First, I have to raise this question for myself. And then if I come to that conclusion that this is the best one, and to accept that, then there is no way of getting out of this religion because I did enough research for that. So if you want to change your way of living
yeah.
based on your beliefs, then it seems that the first thinking was not enough or was not proper thinking, or this way that you're choosing, the next way, I mean, to choose to change your religion yes. is not good reasoning.
But actually, there's an opportunity for those who say, we don't want religion, so religion, freedom from religion is freedom of religion and vice versa.
So for the sake of that, I do think that the first step is thinking of freeing yourself from any religion. And then the second one, to choose the best one.
Yeah.
And the third one, to be stable in following that religion. Because you chose that out of your reasoning and thinking. Otherwise, this reasoning is not good.
Yes. Thank you for clarification.
Thank you.
Sheikh Gambari. Unfortunately, we didn't have Said Radawi tuned in.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. So I would continue asking my questions to you.
Please.
Now, with the things you said from a jurisprudence perspective, that you're not allowed to change your religion and the punishment is very harsh.
Yeah.
And that Islam does not allow the same freedom for other faiths, for other communities, as it allows for itself.
Yeah.
Then doesn't that pressure the minorities in different societies in the Islamic world, pressure the minorities to go, like for example, what we have in some Islamic, in some Muslim countries, underground churches, for example, and other religious activities, but it's all underground. That's what it leads to. Yeah. How would you respond to it?
You know what Islam does is invitation, only invitation, okay. Islam invites all people to enter religion of Islam.
All right.
And there is no force for that.
No.
Okay. And among the Muslim community, if there is a strong Muslim community and government that is based on Islam, so he should defend, or it should defend its own Islamic teachings and preach it.
All right.
If freedom, if we guarantee freedom for the minorities to come and talk freely about their own teachings and invite people to that religions,
we can challenge
this
them.
Is against the
but we can
the purpose
challenge
of Islam.
Them,
we are challenging now.
We can challenge them with arguments.
Yeah, freedom of
coming
talking
to a live
is there.
Debate.
Exactly. Freedom of talking about religion is there. And we all the time are talking about Christians, Jews, and even
but
non-Muslims.
But what we're saying is that it has a punishment.
No, we are talking freely.
Mm.
But the punishment...
In private rooms.
Yeah. No, not private room, even in their own churches, even
right.
in their own... the places that... sanctity, or what's
yes.
that, what they call it. So,
all right.
I want to say, nobody is allowed in some country to come out and say, okay, we have to fight the Islamic country. We have to violate the Islamic ruling. No, there is no freedom for Muslims and non-Muslims to do in this way. Mm-hmm. But with respect to the mind and heart, because there are something out of control, physical control of any person, and no one can force. Right. When we say La Ikraha Fiddin, we want to focus on one reality, and it is the reality of impossibility of forcing the mind of and the hearts of people.
All right, Sheikh, we have just a couple of minutes to go.
Okay.
The freedom of religion in Muslim countries today.
Yeah.
All right, the statistics that I have shows that it's the Muslim world has one of the worst rating in freedom of religion, if those statistics are true. For example, persecution of some minorities, new churches, or even mosques from different different madhahib or different minorities within Islam are not allowed to be built in some Muslim countries. How do you respond to that?
Iran is the example that is in contradiction with that statistic and your claim. You know, there are so many minorities in Iran are living, minority of Jewish, and Christian and Zoroastrian and the others are living in Iran very freely. They have their own mosques. They have their own centers of worship.
But they are they allowed to build new ones?
What?
New churches.
New churches. If the, I don't want to focus on the churches and building, but whatever is going on today is pleasant for them. Mm-hmm. And they themselves say, we are satisfied to be in Iran, to live in Iran. Christians minority and Jewish minority in Tehran, in Shiraz, and other cities, big cities of Iran. If it was, you know, hard to them to live, then they wouldn't live in Iran. They are continuing to live in Iran, and they are proud of to be Iranians. So they themselves declare that. But yes, I don't deny the other countries. You may find some Muslim countries that there is a great pressure over the minorities. Mm. But with respect to Iran, they are free, and they have their own representative to parliament.
Yes.
And they have their own speakers in state, in government, in parliament. They are coming and talking and defending themselves.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. That was all for today. Thank you for coming over. Jazakallah
khairan. Thank you very much.
And thank you, Ms. Sadeghian, for the technical help.
Thank you, and Dr. Ghanbari, so much. Viewers, may Allah aid your efforts toward what pleases Him. Allah bless you.
And don't forget us to pray for us in the special nights of Muharram. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you very much, Sheikh.
Thank you.